row by row, I'm gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warned them from below till the rain come tumbling down.
Welcome to In the Garden. I'm Kelly Casey, and across from me is Char Char. How does your garden grow, Char?
Well, I found out if you plant a gutter garden as I did. I planted several varieties of lettuce in my gutter garden, and they're all up, by the way. But one should probably water the gutter twice a day. So while a gutter garden is easy on the back, no bending, this might not be a good solution or option for those folks who frequently go to a cabin on weekends or take several trips during gardening months.
Mm-hmm. Once again, we are outdoors at a safe social distance, continuing with our talk of our love for the hobby of gardening. And Char, did you know that the hobby of gardening is the most shared hobby in all of the United States?
I don't doubt it. I believe that entirely.
Especially this year.
This year especially.
We've been talking about a lot of great opportunities for people maybe new to gardening, maybe people who have a past history and haven't gardened in a while. For some reason, we have some extra time, and so it's a good thing to get into, and it's very relaxing. And Char, you are going to start out today's show with a tip.
I am. You know, this year does differ from other years in our history. People are taking special care to grow more fruits and vegetables. And one of my favorite veggies is asparagus. And for those of you who see it in stores in the little plastic packages, and you want to add asparagus to your garden, and maybe you've not grown it before, remember that it takes 3 to 4 years before a young asparagus plant reaches the maturity to supply an annual harvest that lasts 4 to 6 weeks. So don't expect to see results this year, but still grow it, but be patient. 3 to 4 years wait is required. Sorry about that.
Also, I wanted to interject my personal experience, which has been terrible. 4 of my plants got flooded out 3 years ago, just as they were ready to produce. So I moved the bed to a better location that wasn't quite so soggy, and moles ate the roots.
Oh.
So I have, for my total production this spring, 3 little stalks. So it's not something that you should give up. It's one of those things that's a challenge. And I think, the challenge is the fresh, there's nothing that tastes better than fresh asparagus. It's so it's wonderful. Definitely worth it. But you do have to wait a little.
Yes, you do. Patience. Gardeners must have patience.
We do. And one thing we do have to have patience about is our ever-changing weather scheme. We've gone through wonderful 70s and 60s and 50s overnight, all the way down to almost freezing last week. So it's, you never can be too predictable, especially about early spring planting.
Correct.
All right, what are we going to look at first today, Char?
Well, our next couple of shows are going to relate to plants or flowers that are typically associated with spring holidays or spring observances, Mother's Day and Memorial Day. So for instance, if you're one of those lucky people who received a hanging basket or a plant for Mom's Day, what do you do now? So in these next couple of shows, let's learn a little bit about the care of plants that often come to mind, such as geraniums, peonies, rose bushes, or even the new hydrangea, Summer Crush. The latter I've had some personal experience with. But when Kelly talked about the weather, here's some warning about cool nights. Before letting that gift that someone has lovingly chosen for you stay outdoors overnight, please check that weather forecast. It would be a shame to lose it to a cruel joke of a different kind of a mother, Mother Nature, and her ability to send the freezing temps our way. So today, let's focus on geraniums. Very, very popular. One of the easiest plants to grow. They're readily available this time of spring, either in single pots, plants, or in hanging baskets, which there are multiple plants, by the way, in a hanging basket. Sometimes the larger ones have 5 to 7 plants of geraniums, so remember that. If you, for instance, are putting just a single geranium plant into your planter, or maybe multiple ones, and you're doing it yourself, maybe you have a recycled hanging basket that you carried over from last year. Or if you did receive one as a gift this year, remember, just like my gutter garden, check it for moisture, sometimes even twice a day when it's really dry or the dew point's low. And even on windy days, that is very crucial. It just saps the moisture right out of those hanging baskets. But regardless of what type of plant or planter that you've either prepared yourself or if it was purchased ready-made or given to you as a gift, in times when you'll be gone over a weekend or longer, perhaps purchase a bag of decorative moss. Sometimes they call it Spanish moss, and you want to tuck that down around the base of the plants, and this helps to keep the moisture from evaporating out. And if it's really hot and dry, or if you're going to be gone for a long while, maybe a kindly neighbor or a relative could give the basket or the planter a drink on a regular basis. And you may even have to move it temporarily while you're gone or gone on a trip out of the hot, sunny location you may have placed it in. Nothing can spoil a vacation more than coming home and seeing a bunch of dead and dying baskets and planters. Now, talking about fertilizing hanging baskets and planters, a good and easy to use fertilizer is recommended, something that doesn't take a lot of mixing or fuss. You should probably apply something maybe in a month or two, because when you think about when you're watering a planter or a pot or a basket, a lot of that fertilizer gets washed out each time you're watering your plant, or just regular rainfall will wash it out. So just follow the directions on the fertilizer container and follow up if necessary in a month or so after that, and maybe even a third time before the end of summer.
I wanted to share too, Char, that my family is very tolerant of some of my plant movements. Sometimes they have opened the shower curtain only to find 3 or 4 planter baskets in there because I give them a nice shower.
Right.
I give them a nice shower and let them, especially if they're terribly dry.
Right.
I don't do that often, but thanks to my family for being so accommodating.
That's a good point. That's a good suggestion. Light as far as those gifts that you may have received. The grower's tag is usually on the planter somewhere or the basket, and that's your best resource. It'll say full sun, part shade, full shade, and that's usually the way it's referenced on those grower tags. So check that first, and then use your own experience, past experience in your location as a guide. If, for instance, sun is easily reflected off the siding of your house, depending on what color, or if you don't have any trees on your property that provide protection from full sun, then use your best judgment as far as where this planter or basket should be placed. And types of geraniums. Oh, there's a lot of different types. There's hardy geraniums, which we're not going to talk about today. Those are perennials, but today we're just going to discuss annual geraniums. And types include zonal geraniums. You'll see that on a lot of the tags in the stores. Regals, also known as Martha Washingtons. And I know the lady across from me, she grows Martha Washingtons. I wonder if Martha grew them back in her day.
I don't know when geraniums came into popularity, but they're probably the one that I see the most.
Right. That's true. Ivy geraniums. Now, ivy geraniums are the kind that you might see on a picture of a Swiss chalet where they're hanging down from a window box. Those are ivies. variegated leafed geraniums where there's multiple colors. A green and white one that I've been watering every day lately is a Wilhelm Langguth. That's kind of a pale green with white edges. And Velma Cox, that's the name of another variegated. There's a kind of a reddish tint, a kind of a yellowish tint, and a white, and of course the green. So probably four colors in there altogether. And scented leaf geraniums. Now those scents, believe it or not, come in such as lemon, apricot, peppermint, pineapple, rose, and even chocolate. It was once thought that the scented Citroza geranium warded off mosquitoes. But I'm here to tell you, that isn't necessarily true. It doesn't keep those little nasties away. It's a good idea.
I have to rely on my lemongrass for that.
Okay, that's another good plant for mosquitoes, keeping them away. In order to keep geraniums blooming and looking attractive, they do need to have their dead blossoms removed. There's two thoughts on how to do that. You can take just a real sharp and clean scissor and cut the bloomed out blossom below the, say, the level of the leaves in the basket, or you can do a nice clean break off at the main stem. That's how my mom used to do it. The only problem with the latter, breaking it off at the main stem, you could do damage to that main stem and maybe tear some of the outer, not bark, but the like the skin of that branch off. So to be safe, and if you're not real confident on your breaking skills of a dead blossom, you might want to just do the cutting thing.
Deadheading is very important for so many plants, but geraniums especially, if you want to have it continually bloom.
Exactly. Now, if you have been gifted with a geranium basket or planter, and you just are enthralled with its color and you want to keep it going in the house maybe this fall, by all means, do what Kelly and I do. We take, well, I think you take planters, the bottom root ball and all, but I take slips every single fall of my favorite geraniums because you never know if they're going to be available by the growers next spring.
And I found some beautiful orange ones last year and I couldn't bear to part with them.
Yeah.
So they went to a foster care program. A kindly business person here in Hastings said, I have an open window this winter, and she allowed me to bring my two giant hanging baskets and sit them on the floor, and I give her all the praise for doing that, because now this spring I was able to do the slip cutting early this spring, and now I have 22 little babies.
How many?
22 little babies. They're still working on their 4-inch pot, but now I have an opportunity to add to my orange geranium load.
Sure you do. So if you're doing what Kelly just talked about, the little babies, the little short stems, you'll want to take that and make a good clean cut with a sharp knife. You can also break them, but again, you run the danger of not doing a real good break or a clean break. You can dip it in rooting powder or rooting hormone. I don't know. Do you do that, Kelly?
I dip them in cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
It's just an old wives' tale, and it's always worked very well.
All right. Well, remember that, folks. Cinnamon. And then put it in potting soil. Remember to keep it moist, and you might want to put maybe just a little cellophane or cling wrap around it just to keep the moisture in, to be sure. Not totally so that the air can't get at it. And then see what happens. You might want to take more than one slip, maybe 3 to 5, and because sometimes you do have a failure, something won't take. So, but I think the chances are good for success to come out of some of those things. So.
Some of the slips' best success is where you're taking it, where it's actively growing, where it's starting to bring those new little leaves out of there too.
Yes. And
make sure you don't ever include anything that looks wilted or diseased, because they're you're going to waste your time.
Right. And so that if you have another thing, if you have a big, large bloom head on that stalk, it's going to, the strength isn't going to go to your rooting part of the stem. It'll go to that bloom on there. So, don't want to take one with a great big full bloom on it.
And my mom has a tip that she shared with me. And once she has them potted in their new little pot ready for the slips, she cuts the remaining leaf in half horizontally. So you only have half of the leaf. Now, this is something that she's done.
Oh.
And it's one of those things that she said works very well because then the energy does go into making new roots
right.
instead of making new leaves.
That makes sense.
So so it looks a little odd because it looks like somebody's yeah. chewed them off, but it's yeah. just a nice clean cut horizontally. So you only have half the leaf
yeah.
sticking in that slip and it works.
Well, for goodness sakes.
There's all kinds
cinnamon.
Of...
cinnamon. Cutting the leaves. We learned something new.
We sure did.
Wow.
Once again, you're listening to In the Garden, and your host, Shar Shar, has so many great tips. We come to you every Wednesday on KDWA. And Shar, we have a couple of minutes before we're going to have to say goodbye again for this week. But do you have anything that you would like to... I found a great picture. I'm going to be posting those on Facebook. Actually, I've been posting quite a few of those each show. Each thing that I come across, and I came across a beautiful yellow magnolia that was so stunning. I've shared that on the Facebook page, and we would welcome people's submissions for their things that are green and growing. And then I also took a beautiful one of a freshly risen bleeding heart that is just emerging from the ground, but it rose so quickly, I turned my head and it was up about 2 feet.
Wow.
It was amazing. It just popped up overnight. And those are the things that I live for in spring.
You bet. You bet. It's wonderful.
All right. So we're going to be coming back to you every Wednesday on KDWA. Do you have one last tip for today?
I do. A lot of mothers may have received black-eyed Susan vines. Please, please don't put them too close to any other plants or planters that you might have. They love, love, love to climb, not just up like a trellis, but they love to grab hold of other plants and planters nearby. So just don't plant them too close or situate them too closely to something because they'll climb for sure.
I love those. They give so much great, great pop to a...
Multiple colors this year too.
They do.
I've seen.
Besides yellow?
Yes. Orange, a pink, and some are all white, the alba. So several colors.
Shar speaks from great knowledge. She is very versed in the greenhouse. The greenhouse situation and experience is probably going to look different for you this
yes.
spring due to social distancing and safe practices by some of your vendors. But greenhouses and garden centers are open. They welcome you. They're taking precautions, trying to make your foray into yeah. the garden successful and keeping everyone safe. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate them so very much
yeah.
because it's so important to have that ability to be out and growing things. And there's
right.
so many wonderful products. So take your time. Check out the sales. Check out some of the varieties. Try something new this year
yeah.
that you've never tried before. And there's so much available online to give you success, and it is so satisfying. So that's why we come to you every week, every Wednesday on In the Garden. Thanks so much for being here, Shar.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.
See you next week. That's In the Garden for today. Remember to tune in for our next program with host Shar Shar. We'll bring you a full season of information on all things green and growing. From foliage to flowers, veggies to patio planters, we'll share our love for gardening thanks to these fine sponsors.